The text this morning is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Looking at and hearing some of the headlines over the last few weeks, it's very discouraging. When you think about the wars that are being fought in the Middle East, now, most of them involve religion of some sort, in one way or another. Extremism, fundamentalism, two different religions fighting against one another. The same religion, but different beliefs fighting against one another. And we look at our own country and we can see certain types of extremism that are on the rise. And I sometimes get very discouraged. I wonder, is religion even worth it? Sometimes I'm just tempted to chuck it all out, abandon it, and say, what's the point? Is there anything good about religion, and specifically Christianity? Does it offer anything for us in our world today? Now, we've been talking quite a bit about wind and the sea and the boats this morning. Wind can be good or bad. Sailboats need a good steady wind. Wind farms to generate electricity too need good steady wind. On the other hand, storm winds can bring Bob back home a little early. It can sink ships. Wind can fell trees, it can damage houses. So wind can be good or it can be bad. In the creation story, the earth begins as basically a mass of water. It represents chaos. And you have the Spirit hovering over the waters. I think of that kind of as the wind. And throughout the creation account of Genesis 1, steadily order is brought out of chaos. And I can imagine when the firmament is separated from the waters, or when the land appears from the waters, that there's this massive wind that blows that creates these things. Or in the flood story, it is water representing chaos that comes back to destroy the world. Yet it is the wind afterwards that dries out those waters to bring back order and a new creation back out of chaos. In the Exodus story, as the Israelites are faced with the Red Sea in front and the Egyptian army coming after them from the back, It's the wind that separates the sea to create a path for them. Yet at the same time, after the Israelites cross over, it is the wind that reverses, that brings the water back together to destroy the Egyptian army. The Holy Spirit is sometimes described like a wind. In ancient times, winds were seen as manifestations of deities and spirits, and the sea a place of chaos and the abyss. The ancients feared the sea. In our modern scientific objective mindset, though, we think we understand the weather. At least we know the scientific principles behind wind and weather. We know about tides. We know about waves. We know about seas, the rocks. You know, we have radars and depth finders to help us navigate. But back in the ancient times, they had none of these. And so they attributed all of these mysterious forces to various spirits and deities. So in this story of Jesus and Peter walking on water in the storm, I see a metaphor of the kingdom of heaven, the already here yet, but at the same time, not yet completely fulfilled. So in this story, it begins with Jesus commanding his disciples with a task to get into the boat and sail across to the other shore. And he commands the crowds that have gathered. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000, the loaves and the fishes. He commands the crowd to go back home. Jesus himself wants to be alone. Prior to the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus wanted to be alone, but he couldn't. Jesus wanted to be alone because he had just heard news that his relative, his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded by Herod. He wanted time to think, to pray, to reevaluate for himself the path that he had chosen to take, because he knew that the path he had chosen would lead to the same fate as John the Baptist. So he needed some time alone with his father. He had his own internal storms to take care of. Well, the crowd interrupted that for a while, but now with all of their needs met, he could send them away and he could go alone and have some time to pray. Now, I'm sure that during his prayer, it wasn't just about himself, but he was concerned for his disciples as well, because to follow him would mean the same, potentially facing the same threats and the same fate as he was going to face. So in his prayer, I'm sure he was praying for his disciples too. So while Jesus is alone on the mountain praying, the disciples have gone out, commanded by Jesus, into the boat to cross the sea. And it is at this time that the wind turns against the disciples. And here I see, in this entire account, the wind is the antagonist. The wind is what is trying to destroy the disciples. The wind is what I see personified here. And some commentaries suggest that the wind represents the demonic here. Now, Satan had tried to overcome Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry and had failed. Now Jesus is praying. Jesus is away physically from his disciples, and maybe the demonic forces see an opportunity to destroy Jesus' legacy. So the wind, the wind sees this boat with Jesus' disciples all by themselves in the middle of the sea. And the wind decides to go after them. Is Jesus unaware? I'm sure he's quite aware of what is happening, yet, in the incarnation, as he is walking on the earth, he can't be in multiple places. Maybe his intention originally was to send the disciples by boat and then he would walk his way along the shore. But circumstances change. And so Jesus, after he is finished with his prayers, he takes to the water. He walks on the water through the storm. He wants to be with them. He needs to be with them. He cares. And he is going to be there to offer his strength to them. So as he walks and approaches this boat in the middle of the lake, the commentary suggests that they were maybe 3 or 4 miles away from shore. Now, with the wind against them, with this big storm beating on them, with the waves beating, crashing, they can't go anywhere. The disciples see a figure approaching on the water, walking on the water. If you were out on the water here and you saw a being, a human form walking towards you, would you not be a little bit freaked out, a little bit concerned? The disciples are, cry out in fear. They're terrified. I mean, not just the storm, but what they see now is this good or evil that is approaching them. Well, the wind is evil for them in this case. And is this, maybe one of the spirits that has come to finish off the task? So they cry out, and Jesus responds, "Take heart," or "Have courage. Don't be afraid. Do not fear." One of the things that I think we can take away from this is that Jesus, or help from God, assistance from God, can come in unexpected ways, through unexpected means that we, unexpected. And we fail to recognize it at times. Sometimes I think Christians have a tendency to think that God only works through other believers, that help can only come from other believers. But I think we need to be open to the idea that God can use all sorts of agencies, all sorts of people, all sorts of organizations to help bring assistance to his people that are crying out for help. I'm reminded of the joke or the story where, there's a big flood and a person, a public service goes around the roads saying, it's time to get out. And this person says, I trust God, I'm just going to stay here. Well, the flood comes in. And a boat comes by. He's on the second floor now. A boat comes by and saying, get in, I'm here to help you. And he says, no, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God to help me. And the floodwaters continue to rise. Now he's on the rooftop. Helicopter comes. The rope coming down and his search and rescue trying to help him. And the man on the rooftop says, no, I don't need help. I don't need help from you. No, God's going to bring help. And now he's kind of hanging on to, this is the old time, antenna, TV antenna. And he's crying out, God, where are you? Now, where's the help you promised? And this voice from heaven says, well, I sent you, this police car to make the announcement, to give you time to get away. I brought you a boat. I brought you a helicopter. Sometimes we are so narrowly focused on the type of help that we think we need, that we fail to recognize the help that does come. So that's one thing. So Jesus calls out to the disciples, take heart, don't be afraid. And Peter believes. Peter believes. His fear is alleviated. He has courage. Now it's not that Peter, when he then asks, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you, to walk on the water, come out to you. I don't believe it is Peter doubting the existence of Jesus, but rather he's asking, do you indeed really have authority over all of this? And so he asks, he's asking whether Jesus' authority is more powerful than the wind, the demons, and the circumstances that are threatening to engulf them. So Peter asks for a direct command from God, from Jesus. He's asking Jesus to command him to come out. Now, at first thought, that question seems a little odd, that statement that seems a little odd because couldn't anyone just say, come out? It's kind of saying, if it's Jesus, he's kind of in a tight spot. He can't say no, because then that would be denying himself. And if it's, say, the devil, why wouldn't he say come? Let Peter sink. I think hidden in that, reading kind of between the lines, is that the authority, the commands of God have a kind of tone, a kind of ring to them that believers are able to recognize and to hear. And so if it wasn't Jesus out there saying, come, Peter would have known it. Peter would have recognized it. But what Peter does here is the voice and the authority of Jesus telling him to come out. And so he does. We don't know how far, how many steps he takes. May have been just a few. It might have been quite a long ways. But what happens, I think the key here is that Peter sees the wind and becomes afraid. How do you see the wind? We don't really see the wind. We see the effects of the wind. But we don't typically say we see the wind. We see the wind blowing, but we don't see the wind. Yet this text says Peter saw the wind and he became afraid. And I think that's why I believe that this story is a metaphor of the oppressive forces, the demonic forces that are threatening to engulf believers. Throughout history, believers have been oppressed. Not in all places at all times, but it's always been there. And I think this is a metaphor for that. We do not live in calm waters. We here today, none of us are experiencing what the Iraqi Christians are experiencing. Yet each of us does have personal struggles. We have personal trials that we are going through. And some of it may feel like it's overwhelming. It may feel like God is far away, that we don't feel His presence. But what this story is telling us is that during in our kingdom journey here on this earth, before it is completely fulfilled, even though God may not feel like He is near us, that God still cares for us. Just as Jesus was praying for His disciples, God is caring for us. And that God is going to send the strength that we need. So Peter, he sees the wind. He cries out for deliverance. And Jesus responds. Jesus responds by coming and taking Peter's hand. Now at this point, we should not jump to the conclusion that physical life will always be spared. But I think what it is saying is that the hand, God's hand represents His strength. And so what I believe it is saying is that the strength of God's hand will be with us as long as we live to courageously face whatever trials life has to bring to us. So it was fear that led to doubt. Fear is the opposite of faith, and doubt is a symptom of that fear. What did Peter doubt? Sometimes I've heard it from time to time that Peter lost sight of Jesus, and so that's why Peter began to sink. If only Peter had kept his eyes on Jesus. Well, maybe that was possible, maybe it wasn't. But whatever the case, that's one explanation I've heard. Another is that maybe Peter began to feel a little self-pride at being able to walk on water, and so he turned away from Jesus and looked back at the boat towards the disciples to gloat. But the text doesn't say that. The text says, the text is a battle between wind and Jesus and the disciples. The wind represents the demonic, those forces that oppose Christ. And so what I think Peter doubted was that, Jesus is one man, one being out in this huge sea of chaos and waves and wind. And I think Peter, when he saw the power of the wind, he began to doubt whether Jesus could sustain the strength necessary to keep him afloat. And I think that's the case with us too. As the storms of life beat down on us, beat against us, we begin to wonder, is God strong enough? Is God strong enough to sustain me through the trials? And so we begin to be afraid. And through that fear, we begin to doubt. And the appropriate response when that happens is what Peter did, to cry out, "Save me." You don't have to believe. The only thing you have to believe is that God will come. And He will take your hand to give you the strength that you need to face courageously the storms of life. The storm doesn't end when Jesus takes the hand of Peter. The wind is still blowing. The waves are still crashing. The sea is still chaotic. But together they walk back towards the boat. And the wind only ceases when they enter the boat. And I think this whole picture is a journey of the kingdom. Now, we are currently in the middle of the storm, and the storm isn't going to end until the kingdom arrives in its fullness. We shouldn't expect the storms to end until then. When they enter the boat and the seas calm, the wind ceases, the disciples worship and declare that Jesus is the Son of God. They declare that his authority is true, is genuine, and it is now fully manifest. And that takes me back to the Song of Moses that the Israelites sang after they had been delivered from the Egyptians, after they had seen the Egyptians vanquished by the sea. They sing praises, they worship. Now, that isn't to say that we shouldn't be worshiping all along the journey, but I think when we do finally experience the fullness of the kingdom, what it's telling us is that we will worship, and we will be able to worship in a way that we have never been able to worship before. And so as we meet together each week, now we are practicing for that day. As we come together, we encourage one another. We help each other through those trials. And we praise and worship the victories that we do see along the journey that we have right now. I think it's important that the disciples, as well as Jesus, all do successfully reach the other shore. What Jesus commanded at the very beginning to his disciples, go across the sea, and I will see you there. It is fulfilled. I think the main theme for me of this story is that God is faithful to bring about his commands to completion. So we don't have to doubt. When we hear the voice of God, when we carry out his commands, and when the forces of evil try to discourage us, try to prevent us from carrying out those commands, when we take the strength of God in our hands, we can be sure that God is faithful to bring about that which he started. I think as Christians, part of our job that God has given to us is to bring courage and to bring what measure of peace that can be had in this world today to the people who are suffering, who are facing trials. And so in that sense, we are to follow the example of Jesus in the storm. We are to go out to those places that are facing troubles. We are to provide resources to those who are ministering in those places, to help bring that encouragement, to bring that courage, to bring that peace that people are so desperately crying out for. The Gospel of Matthew ends with this commission that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and so I am commanding you to go out and make disciples, to teach them, to baptize them. And his promise is that he is faithful. I am with you until the very end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story that you've given us, that we will face storms in this life, but you are there to lead and guide us through these times, to give us the strength that we need to walk through them, and that you are there with us. I pray for your strength. I pray for your grace. I pray for your mercy. And I pray for ears to hear your voice leading us to those places where we are most needed. I thank you for your blessings and your care and your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.